everybody, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Game Dev Show. I'm back again with James Martin of MobaCap. If you missed our first episode, here it is on the screen. We did a fast 2D and 3D facial animation where we created a virtual non-hero. We'll call him Dublo Adam. Yeah. And what would you have to say about his dress, James?
He was a little bit weak into Bernie's where we left off. I think he had some mismatched jogging pants and some other fine points. So we need to tighten him up to give him more of that spy appeal that we're looking for.
Yes, so we're going to do some exciting things today. If you notice, I've got this interesting suit on here. This is the Perception Neuron Motion Capture Suit, a really cool piece of technology from Noitom. And we're going to do two different things with motion capture. Well, today we actually have two things. Today we're going to export directly from a tool called Axis Neuron. We're going to do motion capture, bring that into Unity. And then secondly, we're going to bring that over into iClone and do some cool things with Dublo Adam over there. And then in a future episode, part two, we're going to actually look at doing motion capture with a Kinect, Microsoft Kinect 2.0 camera. So what do you say, James? We'll get started. But actually, before we do, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Cool, yeah. So I've been a Realvision certified trainer for 10 years here in the United States, teaching the full Realvision pipeline, so 2D, 3D production tools, and that's pretty cool stuff. We'll be using some of that today. Also, I'm a certified trainer and owner for MobaCap, doing 2D, 3D production art and also motion capture production. Most recently, the developer of Flipblade, our first VR title that uses a little bit of all of that on Unity platform.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that you're here to join us today. That last episode I thought was pretty cool, so let's do some cool stuff today. And what do you say, shall we get started?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right, cool. All right, James, what do you think we should record for Dublo Adam today? What kind of motion should we get?
I think we got to get some action motions in there, so maybe start off with a couple of pistol rounds, fire off a couple of shots, and then definitely a right cross or two for some action shots.
All right, I like this.
Cups. And then maybe a kind of a Clark Kent reveal, take off the glasses for a little drama.
All right, I'm going to record here in Neuron. I'm going to call this Dublo Adam. We're going to start the recording. All right, so we're going to first do, let's go ahead and we'll do some guns here. Now we want to do a right cross, right?
Yeah.
And then we want to get some head motions in there. And then let's go ahead and do the reveal.
Perfect.
All right, cool. Let's take this over then throughout the pipeline. We'll go to Unity and iClone and let's see how this turns out.
Cool.
Now, this is a software Axis Neuron that is essentially reading the input from my suit. So if I wave, or if I kick, or if I even jump up and down, we can see everything's going on there. Now, because of the calibration process and how I've been moving around and jumping, running over my garage where I'm doing recordings here, you can see at various times how the inputs are being read, how the different sensors are being processed over here. And down here we have this timeline, and we can load up all different existing content that comes with Axis Neuron. So if I want to look at master lose performance here and play this, we'll see that this is a pre-recorded stream that was done by the folks over at Noitom. Now, with our data here, running through all these frames, we can take all of this data then and export it into a couple different industry standard file formats.
Sure.
For what we're going to do with the Adam recording here, let's go ahead and play this. Let's see how the recording turned out of our motions. Let's actually just scrub along timeline here so we get a little faster. There's the shots, there's the punches. All right, perfect. Now from here, there's a couple options that we can do, right? We can export from here and go right over to, again, the various industry file formats. I can go FBX binary. So if I wanted to take this over to Unity, for example, we have two options. One, I can live stream this into Unity. I can actually capture this live in Unity. Or I can just save this out to an FBX, and we see that the data just got streamed right there, and that happened pretty fast. Now let me open up the folder. Oops, not that, but the actual folder this went out to. And we can see, here we go, Atom Care FBX. I can take this FBX file right in the Unity and process it and see an animation over there. So we'll do that in just a little bit. But first, what I'm going to do is take this data and send this on over to iClone and then give this off to James to work with.
Cool.
Since I've double-clicked on the Dublo Atom animation here, what I can do is immediately stream this over to iClone. And in order to do that, I'm just going to play inside of Axis Neuron, let's switch on over to iClone, and create a new character here. And the reason I'm doing this is because James has all the Atom characters, so I'm going to go ahead and just create a new character, Christian, here. Once this processes, I'm going to use the plugin that basically will communicate between iClone and the Axis Neuron software to stream that data over. I guess the one spot that I actually left out here that I didn't talk about yet was in my settings in Neuron. I'm broadcasting TCP over using the BVH format. I just accepted the defaults and checked off BVH. And the reason is that over in iClone, that plugin is going to use BVH and listen. And so I've already installed the plugin. I can see it listed here, and it's not going to be active until I load up a character, which I've already done. So I open the Neuron MoCap plugin, click on connect, and this basically, boom, it is now connected to the instance of Neuron running on my computer. And we're going to record that animation. And we can see it's streaming right now. So it's going from one software over to the other. It's going from the Axis Neuron into iClone. Boom, we've got the character doing his stuff there. And we can see there's a little bit of a wonkiness to the fingers. So my calibration has been off from me just kind of moving around and lifting things up in my workplace here. And that's the thing, too. Once you have a motion capture suit on, calibrate it and start using it right away. In my case, I've been doing a whole bunch of stuff after I calibrated it. So the calibration in a couple areas a little off, but we'll fix that up. All right, so that motion is there. If I click on play, we can see there's the motion. It's streamed over into iClone now. It's on the character. And there's the gun. There's Dublo Atom, a different version of Dublo Atom. We'll call him Dublo Christian. let's go to my other folder here for motion, and in motion I'm just going to click on add, and I'm going to add a new motion into that folder. In other words, it's going to take the motion, the movement information that we've just streamed over into iClone, and it's going to save it into this section here. This actually gets stored to a physical location on disk, and as soon as this finishes, I'm going to take this file, send this file on over to James. James is going to work his magic with the original Dublo Atom with his nice pants and vampire fangs and see what we can do over on that side.
Sounds good.
Okay, it's finished on my end. Wants me to name this motion, and we're going to call this Dublo Atom Action. Save that. Now, that's all set to go. So I'm going to load up this folder on my system, which is in my C users public documents. Reallusion custom iClone 6 custom, because I've created my own custom motion here. And there is my atomaction.imotion. I'm going to go ahead and send this on over to James, and James will work his magic with this. So James, we are going to resume now on your computer.
Cool. So I've got the file from Atom now, and I'm going to jump into Character Creator first, because we want to get rid of these Weekend at Bernie's jogging pants. So we threw some default clothing on him in our first game dev show. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump down in Character Creator, which is the avatar generator for Reallusion, and we're going to get rid of the t-shirt. So I'm just going to strike delete, and we're going to give Atom something a little bit more Dublo Atom style. So you'll see that this is soft cloth conforming clothing. And Atom is a very fit kung fu artist in his off time, so we're going to go ahead and get him covered up with some more business spy-like attire. Now we're going to do that using the professional outfits pack that you can get from the Reallusion website. And you can see that I've got coats, shirts, pants, even a vest if we want to do the three-piece suit. So we'll start with a shirt. We'll expand this out. We'll go down and we'll select a closed collar shirt. Now I just double-click this, or I can drag and drop and this will automatically conform to my avatar shape. So once we already have Adam created, we can dress him in as many different styles or different clothing packages as we like. So we'll go ahead and we'll change out our jogging pants. I'll spare you from me pulling those off directly. So we'll just go ahead and jump into pants and go to the professional slacks folder here. And we'll go ahead and double-click a black pair of slacks because we want to give him kind of the secret agent Bond look. So black tie, black coat, black pants. So you can see those are going to switch out and, again, going to conform to our avatar. Now I'm going to go back up into my shirts folder, or at least the portion of my torso here for our character, because I want to go down and into the others folder. That's where we're going to be able to find the professional outfits pack for other things that we might want to include. For example, a thick necktie. So if I want to go ahead and throw that necktie on him, I can now stack a jacket over all of this. So we can layer these pieces of clothing as well to create a really cool custom outfit. So I'll go ahead and jump into coats. You can see on the graphic user interface on the left-hand side of Character Creator that it's very easy to get, you know, very deep and very detailed all the way down, like I said, to the waistcoats or things like that. But we're just going to go ahead and grab a basic blazer. Now, if I want to change this material or edit any of these are substance-based materials. So we can do some really, really cool stuff with dynamic appearance textures. And for this jacket, maybe it's a little bit too L.L. Bean. So I can switch this out by double-clicking and either replace the geometry or just the material only. So I'll go ahead and replace the material, and we'll make a quick edit before we send this over to iClone. Now, Adam's kind of a hip secret agent, so we're going to leave our three stripes on him and let him go ahead and rock some Adidas. But I'm just going to quickly change this diffuse color by selecting the swatch, and I'm going to change that to black. So now we've got kind of the black suit, black tie look. So once we double-click on our avatar, we can use a single-click solution to send that out over to iClone, where Adam's motion file, he's already given me, and that's waiting for me to apply. So we have the look of our avatar. It's not Weekend at Bernie's anymore. It's a little bit more octopusy. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump over to iClone, and we're going to update the Christian default avatar into the design that we've just basically created in Character Creator. So at any given time, once you've got your head developed for your avatar, you can redress them, reclothe them, basically recostume design them in any way you want. You'll see that this is a pretty quick process. We're already exporting into iClone, so it's about 50% done now, and it will auto-update our avatar in scene. So we can go ahead and we can get rid of Christian now. So I can get rid of him by striking delete. And now we're left with 00 Adam. So once we select our avatar in iClone, we can navigate in the content manager on the left to the third icon or the animation icon, little running man guy, to our custom folder where we've already placed our preset 00 Adam motion. So we're going to go ahead and double click this now to apply this motion directly to our avatar. So now if I hit play in real time, you can see that here's all of our mocap data applied to 00 Adam. So when he starts pulling his hands up, we know that we want to begin our scene there in iClone, so I can drag my in there. So now anytime I start, I'm going to start in this position. And you can see we've got a little bit of finger offset that we want to correct. So iClone makes that extremely simple. So I'm going to, with my avatar selected, zoom in here using my Z key and left key or left click and drag, and then go to my animation tab on my modify panel, which again is my running man icon, but it's the second icon on the right-hand side. So not the content manager, but our modify panel. And that will allow us to launch the edit motion layer module. Now, this will allow us to see the bone structure of our character and also edit that very quickly using very simple transform tools, rotation, and that's easily accessible throughout the entire bone structure all the way down to the fingertips. So what we've captured here with our perception neuron gloves, we can now refine. So for example, if we want to set a keyframe basically when our character goes to have the gun in his hand, we want to correct the offset for this curled finger. That's not a problem. We can do that very simply. But before we do that, I want to give two props to our avatar, a gun and some glasses, because later on in our motion, we're going to be doing the Clark Kent reveal, and we want that to actually be able to be a prop that's animated along with the character animation that we've just mocapped. So very quickly, I'm going to do that through a couple of accessories and adding those by going to the Actor tab, or the second icon on the Content Manager. And if I go into the accessory file and my custom folder, I can scroll down and I can grab a 9mm that I've already sized for my character and for his hand. So you can see by double-clicking that, I'm able to place that into the character's hand that's already attached. So it's going to inherit that parent movement of the actual motion capture data that is associated with his hand. So if we scroll out here, you can see as he extends the gun, it's going to follow that. So that's the beauty of using an accessory in iClone versus just having it a prop and then attaching that at the beginning of the scene. Now we're going to do the same process with the sunglasses. So I'm going to grab my template tab from the top, and I'm going to go into my accessory folder once again. And G5 accessories will have a bunch of default accessories usually installed, ready to go. I'm going to double-click Glasses 01. Now, these are already associated with the head. And so if I want my my Adam 00 agent to have some dark sunglasses again, I can scale those up. Now, I can also use my Move tool and use the flyout to select Local Move, which allows me to then move that based on the orientation of the character at that point. So as you can see here, I can go ahead and place this exactly where they need to be on my character's head. And then if I want to do a quick, you know, darkening of this, we can select our diffuse map under our materials and come down and then just bring our brightness down a little bit. So now we've got some dark sunglasses, right? So now our character is outfitted with the accessories that they need to perform the motions, and now we can go back to perfecting the overall shape of the hand as we need it to be. So first we're going to do that by selecting the character, double-clicking, going back to our animation tab in the modified panel, going to our edit motion module, and what I can do is for the right hand of the character, you can see I have the right hand gizmo. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start to left-click and drag around these fingers to curl those accordingly. Now you can see I can do that by individual joints as well if I need that to bend more at the midpoint of the index of the finger, or I can do that from the base of the finger as well. So each one of the digits are very easily manipulated. And let me scroll in here a little bit with my camera so we can see that we've already refined that shape a little bit to be more exact to our gun. So I'm going to go ahead and zoom forward in time to where we're extended out here, because that's where we saw our problem area. What I want to do here is set up another keyframe that is going to basically override the positioning that Perception Neuron gave us on the initial capture. So you can see, even if I have fingers that are overextended and things like that, we can curl those very quickly and also leave this other finger over here on the side of the gun waiting for him to pull the trigger. Now we can also keyframe that at any given point, but this is also a good spot to grab your gun or your prop, and we can close our edit motion layer to do that and then refine the position of the prop as well. So that's going to help give you a more exact performance. So you can see we can kind of get this rotated into a more natural position. So I'm going to do that using hotkey E and my rotation tools, and maybe even slide this back again with the local move applied. That way it's orientating to the position of the hand. And now you can see he has more of the military grip for his pistol grip. Now we can refine this and add more keyframes to this to make it a perfect performance result. And that's very simply done inside of iClone. And we're just going to do that through traditional keyframe animation. But we're going to go ahead and move forward. And you can see now if I select play, that gun's position is going to be maintained and our fingers are maintained as well. So we've created a couple of keyframe offsets that are also going to be on our dope sheet that we can basically access and edit at any given time. So we've got a more natural position here. But now we want to talk about how we're going to interface with the glasses once we get to that point, and also hiding the gun once we get to the point in the motion where we have our fist or our punching. So once we get to that point, we can scroll forward, and here we can actually go in and turn off the visibility of the gun. So this is a keyframable feature in iClone, And I'm just going to go in and I'm going to turn my visible display off in my modify panel at that point. And so up to that point, you can see my gun's going to be visible. I'm also going to take my edit motion layer once again for my character by double clicking on him. And I'm going to set another keyframe. Now, anytime we make an edit to any portion, whether it's a finger, a head movement, any torso movement, the human IK is going to auto set a keyframe. So when we get to the point where we need to be throwing punches, I want to go ahead and zoom in and close these fists where they're in a much more natural position. So as you can see now, we got a little bit of a crippled hand sort of look where it might look like he has some broken fingers. So what we want to do now is we want to left click and drag in the palms of our gizmos to extend all the way and then pull all the way back in. We're going to do that for both hands. So now we have this much more believable natural fist position by simply making that one offset. So when we get to that point, you can see that now he's going to maintain a nice natural fist as he does his bobbing and weaving. So we get all of the benefit of the natural human motion without a whole lot of the offset for the hands. Now, once we get to the point where we do the Clark Kent reveal, you can see that we've got this crazy finger pop here. So what happens when you get a motion that has something completely unwanted? Well, that's where iClone really benefits you by being able to access your clip on the dope sheet or the timeline. So we'll use hotkey F3 to access that. You can see here on our motion track for our character, we have that clip. And if we wanted to literally find the problem area where our inertia-based sensor has not tracked so well for that one individual digit, we literally can come over onto our clip, right-click with the clip highlighted, and select the break tool. This allows you to clip or slice any motion clip that you've recorded in real time. And I'll go ahead and I'll find where my finger goes back down into that natural position. I'll right-click that portion of the second part of the clip, and I'll break it again. So now we've got three individual pieces, and the trouble area here on my timeline, I can simply strike delete and get rid of it. Now, we can refine this motion not just by keyframes, but also by transition blending. So I can drag that out by left-clicking and dragging with our double arrow icon, and then also by moving my clip. We even have transition curves that can be applied here by right-clicking, but as you can see, now that problem area is gone. But also notice that we need a couple of more keyframes to make sure that his hand actually reaches the glasses. So what I'm going to do is, at this point where his hand is basically all the way up, I'm going to create another keyframe. So here where his arm is down, I'm going to just create a quick edit with my rotation tool. And of course, if you have any unwanted collision that might be occurring around the waist, this is a good spot to kind of adjust that via the shoulders. And then as he pulls up to that point where he'll be grabbing that, I want to make sure that that arm actually touches the glasses so we get a believable interaction between the character motion and the prop. So I'm going to, again, use my rotate tool, hotkey E, and I'm going to bring this up and then also use my forearm edit to really create some collision right there on the forehead of 00 Adam, and maybe even, you know, refine that to a point where it's a much more believable point of grabbing or interaction occurring. So now we've created not only the error fix that we had for our motion from the initial capture, but also we've created a keyframe that gives us a much more believable interaction with the prop. We even can come out and create a couple more by maybe moving the finger out and the thumb out. So now he has kind of a pinch that's going to occur by adding a couple more keyframes. So now we've refined that motion even further to be a believable performance. And that's what we're looking for with our perception neuron gear. So now we have to address the glasses and the quick constraint. And then we're going to be good to go to put some facial animation on him and send this out all in one FBX package to Unity or any other editor of your choice. So what I want to do now is I want to go back to the beginning of my scene, and I want to use hotkey Q for my selection tool, and I want to double click on my glasses themselves after closing my edit motion layer. And we can also go into our scene tree, and here you can see all of the accessories and even the clothing that we've added to our character creator base, and we can also select these here. So we've got our glasses, and what I want to do is in iClone change this from an attachment to a linkage, which allows us to then keyframe that parent-child relationship to any node on our character rig. So we'll start off on their head, we'll end up on our hand. So I'm going to detach this, hence making it a prop that is now populated in my prop portion of the scene tree, and then I want to link this. So I'm going to go to my link area in my modify panel for this particular asset, select pick parent, it'll give you your crosshairs icon. Next thing you click on is going to give you a white bounding box that flashes indicating that a successful linkage has taken place. You can also see that here with the Reillusion head. And then now we have that link, so you can see the glasses are still going to move and parent to the head movement. But once we scroll forward and get to the point that we need that pinch to take place and those glasses to be then inherited by the hand movement, what we want to do is we want to pick the frame where that occurs, and then we want to select link and pick parent once again, and then select the hand. You can see a white bounding box will flash once again, and now as we scroll forward, you can see it's going to be inherited by the hand movement. So now we have interaction that is basically bond worthy, right? So all we need now is to, you know, use iClone to do some really, really quick scene manipulation, and I'll show you how I can do that super fast by just going into 3D scene. Maybe we'll throw Bond into a lounge area, something like that. So 00 Adam can have a little bit of a space to interact with by just simply double clicking that, and you can see that's even going to include some maybe unwanted foot contact, so we can turn that off. His legs will go back down, and now we've got 00 Adam ready to perform in scene with his character motion and animation. So we can now go access all of this via the timeline once again. And if we wanted to add a little facial animation to this, that's very simple to do. So I could go to my animation menu once again and then come down and go to my face puppet. And I'll go to my camera and actually add a new camera so we can see this very clearly, and switch my preview camera to my face cam for my avatar. So by doing this, I'm going to be able to show you kind of the facial animation that we can include very easily by selecting the character, striking hotkey J, and I'll go ahead and turn some light back on here. So we'll bring a little bit of more of that out for us, and I'll create a light, and we'll just go ahead and throw a directional in there and rotate that as well so we can actually see 00 Adam. So there we go. And activate our rotate tool. And now what we want to do is we just want to give him some facial animation and emotion. And we can do so very easily by selecting the character and going to our face puppet and then selecting from a variety of different emotions. So for this, we might give him a little bit of an angry emotion. I can preview that by striking spacebar. Now you can see I'm puppeteering Adam's face and head orientation, so we can add that all over the entire performance. So I'm going to strike record and simply do that now. So now I can give him some facial animation as he's looking around and firing, maybe even kind of puppeteer the head movement to give it a little bit more of a natural look and feel. And even when he gets down to the point where we're interacting with the head, we still have that control, so we can puppeteer that till he grabs the glasses off. So now we have a full performance that has been recorded via the timeline, and we can grab all of this and take this out into 3D Exchange for use in an external tool. So I'm going to double click him once again. I'm going to go into my modify panel, and I'm going to hit edit in 3D Exchange. So this is where we're actually going to bridge all of this cool stuff that we've rapid fire produced content and asset mocap and prop animation and all kinds of interesting things for. We're going to send that over. Of course, you would probably want to use your props separately in Unity or UE4 once you get there, but you can, of course, include those as OBJs if you want to send those out via the glasses and the gun for your character performance. So we're going to send this full rig that we've edited in Character Creator through the iClone pipeline over into 3D Exchange. And again, it's kind of the bridge. So what we want to do is we want to access our character rig here first by sending it out of iClone. And you can see it's a very quick process. You can see our gun is going to be associated with this. and he's carrying that over. So the glasses, being a linked prop, are going to have to be exported as an OBJ, and you might have to do some keyframe animation in an external tool to get that same sort of interaction. But iClone will give you kind of the basis for how that works. And then also, we want to bring over our full performance. So once we have our character rig here, we can use the native file format for Reillusion's Motion Plus. So what that means is our motion plus our expression animation, or our facial performance, is here as a clip on the expression track of our character, along with our mocap track, which is on the motion portion of the timeline. We can use the collect clip track for any of these characters to literally highlight a specific area, right click, and then send or add motion plus to 3D Exchange. So with the bridge tool open, we can left click that once. So it's a two click solution. Right click and drag, left click and export to send everything that we just animated using our facial animation tools, our motion capture tools, hardware and software, to be able to capture the real human motion, a puppeteered performance that adds a lot to that performance of the face, so you don't just have a static avatar that requires either facial animation to be tracked or developed. We can send all of this over, and now you can see that we've even got our cool Adidas 3 stripes, our gun, and our motion ready to go out. Now, the best part about this is we then can add this motion to the performance track by scrolling up here in the Modify panel of 3D Exchange, and our motion that we've just sent over is actually going to be populated here in our motion library as Motion Plus 1. We simply select Add to Perform to add this to the character's performance. We can rename this should we want to name this, 00 Adam Performance Gotcha File, whatever you gotta name it for recognizing that as the Unity or the UE4 asset. And then simply go to the FBX export from the top. Now, as long as you name your file, so I'm going to say, 00 Adam. And I want to make sure that in my advanced settings in 3D Exchange that I make sure that I specify the game engine Unity 3D. This is going to max out our texture size at 1024, get everything nice and optimized, and allow us to then select OK and send out this FBX. But what we want to do is make sure that we include the animation checkbox. So it's very important that you check that on and make sure your sample rate is set at 30 frames per second. Otherwise, you might get some issues in your FBX export. So we go ahead and select OK from that point. And if you've already created some edits for a file, you can feel free to replace that just like I just did. And you can see that this entire FBX export is going to go with our mocap, our facial animation, and if I do say so myself, some snappy duds for our Adam avatar.
Very nice. All right. James, cool. Let me take it over to my end and let's see what it looks like inside of Unity.
Awesome.
Back on my system, I mentioned that we could easily export from Neuron over to Unity and use these directly in Unity as well. So I want to show that process. We streamed a BVH into iClone, but we could have just as soon as exported a BVH file format from here. But also, since Unity works as well as most other major packages off an FBX file as well, we're going to do FBX binary, and we're going to call this Adam FBX. Actually, it's going to be renamed XBX anyway, so we're going to export that file. And we can see it runs through the animations. Let's go over to the folder here and refresh that. In my folder, we should have our, there we go, Adam_1 under care FBX. And I'm just going to rename this to call these 00 Adam animations. Go back over to Unity, and I'm going to bring this just into my project. And Adam animations, there we have it. Now, right now it says there's no model available for preview, but let's do a couple things first. Notice on our FBX file that came over, if we expand it, we see Unity shows essentially a built-in avatar here. We're actually gonna configure an avatar in a second. The animation file that's included in the FBX, the animation data, and it has something here called hips. So what we wanna work with right now is just this root FBX, and on the rig tab, instead of doing a generic rig, we're going to choose humanoid. because a humanoid shape is exactly what we're going to be animating, so I want to choose a humanoid shape here. Now, the next thing down, avatar definition, create from this model. Let's go ahead and configure. And we can see that in this data where all the points map. So there's a, over on the left, we can see all the different bones here. We have hips, legs, and so on down the line. So Unity looks the name of these and kind of does this automatic configuration. And we can see spine, left shoulder, the forearm. Everything looks good. We don't see anything in red. Everything matches up okay. We're not doing toes. And as you can see, there's no transform for the toes. But this goes all the way down to we have a head, we have a left hand, and a right hand. And we can see all that data is mapped here. So I'm just going to click on Done. Now, what we can do is click on the animation file here, and now we have a preview. And you have a couple different ways of doing this. What I had done previously is I took a 3D model of me that I got scanned from XXArray, XXArray.com. I want to give them a quick shout-out here because XXArray.com, because they did a pretty cool 3D scan of me, which is exactly what we're going to be looking at here. So I went in, I had about 90 or so cameras around me that took a picture of me, and they converted me into this 3D model. I was going to say awesome looking, but I didn't mean me awesome looking. I meant just it's kind of cool that it's turned into a model. And on here, I can preview the animations. That particular animation file, if I scrub through this, I can see all the data that's included in the animation there. In order to use that is just using it like any other animation data inside of Unity. We can literally just drag and drop our animation data onto an object, and it configures everything for us. So in doing so, we get this animator component created. It's pointing to a single animation file. And if we run this, let's go ahead and see our results. There we have it. There's our animation data right there. There's the shots. All right. So you saw, pretty easy to bring this data inside of Unity. It's just FBX. This is exactly how other external animation data coming in is typically handled in an FBX file. No surprise here. The pipeline's pretty easy. The workflow's pretty easy. Right? That's right.
Of course it is. We say it.
All right, cool. On to the next stuff. We last left off in a pretty basic scene with 00 Atom, essentially, or the animation I had recorded brought over as an FBX file. This scene here, I just have that animation mapped to my 3D avatar that I got from XXArray. And in here, there's a zombie Atom, but this guy right there, you can see he's going through the motions there. He's got his gun. That's the Atom, so to say, the 00 Atom that we recorded the stuff for. This other one is Zombie Atom that is from something different. We're going to talk about Zombie Atom right now. But I want you to see really what we have there in the background. Fits into the scene nicely. Now, what I want to do is take what James has sent over, and let's bring that into an actual scene. In fact, we could just do it right inside of this one. So let's go ahead and hide this guy and bring over the FBX file that James sent. The FBX file that James sent right here, 00atom.fbx. I'm just going to bring this into my Atom folder. Let this import. All right, 00 Atom has imported. What we're going to do now is change this from a generic rig, even though this will work just fine, and bring it over to humanoid. That way we can retarget our animations. We can use other humanoid animations on this particular character, and vice versa. So notice that in the FBX file, we have our pieces of our 3D model, but we can also have our animation data. And we can preview that as is right now. So this was what I recorded in with the motion capture suit. James brought into iClone, created this character, smoothed out some of the animation. In other words, fixed a couple of joints that looked a little bit off. And now we have 00 Atom at its near finest. Let's take the root FBX, so right here, 00atom.fbx, and change from generic to humanoid and apply that. And as a little useful tip, a lot of times if you get animations from the Unity Asset Store or from another artist and they don't look right, your models are frozen, things look weird, go in and check to make sure that your animations are set to actually be humanoid. A lot of times artists I will get animation work from and it's set as generic and I'm using a humanoid rig. So map them over. It does require certain things. It requires bones to be named a certain format behind the scenes that you need to understand. Essentially, you're mapping to this generic neutral format. And so you can retarget, you can reuse animations across your characters. So I'm going to click configure and look at the avatar here. There we go. And now we can see all of the various bones, just like we looked at before, and they look okay. They mapped over. I'm going to click on done and we should be good to go. Now I want to take this particular model and bring this model into a scene. So let's open up the Atom scene and drop this other 00 Atom kind of right near our character. All right. Now, once we've got this character all good to go, notice one thing we don't have. In fact, this will become very obvious as soon as we play. This character here is not doing anything. Reason is we have our animation controller. We have no animation specified. So we need to find that animation, which is right in here. And we could either drag it into a new animation controller. The easiest thing to do, just grab the animation and just drag it right over here. And it will automatically create the animation controller and point it to that single animation. So again, all I did was drag that animation on over here and it set it up in the animator component for us. Now let's click play and we should see something working. There we go. All right, 00 Atom is good to go. Let's take 00 Atom and drop 00 Atom in something like a grocery store full of zombies because, you know, why not? Find our other Atom zombie. And so we've got Atom zombie, and now we're going to take the 00 Atom and take 00 Atom, bring 00 Atom in here somewhere. And when we walk in, we should see 00 Atom doing his thing. Let's find out. There we go. Okay, there's 00 Atom. Now I notice that 00 Atom is not animating. That's because my change in this scene doesn't have my controller. In other words, that was for my last scene. So I need to make sure that my controller is all set up here. In fact, now it's a good idea. Now that I have a working 00 Atom, I'm going to go down to my prefab folder and just drag and drop and make a prefab. Now, if I want like several instances of 00 Atom, I can just drag and drop and 00 Atom's good to go. All right, let's find out. There we go. 00 Atom's right there, shooting away. Got his punches going on. All right. Perfect. Easy peasy. We brought in our FBX. We retargeted from a generic to a humanoid animation. Set up the animation controller by simply just dragging and dropping the animation from our FBX file and dragging that right in. And where is that FBX file of ours? That's my prefab. I need my original folder here. So we grabbed our animation there that's included in our FBX file. And we just dragged it and dropped it right up here to go ahead and create our animation controller. And that's it. We're good to go. Now, what if we want to do something more cinematic? We've got something in Unity. What if we want like an intro video based on something that we have? Something that more fuels like 00 Atom. So James, what can we do to make this kind of more cinematic?
So to do something more cinematic with our character, once we have our 3D scene, some lights, and maybe a preview camera or a working camera in our scene, we can add a couple of elements in iClone that will do that very simply in the foreground of our composition. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to switch to my working camera instead of my preview camera, which is our working camera in scene for us to actually arrange our assets But for something more cinematic, we want to use a custom camera. So we've already got an angle selected here. I'm going to go back to the beginning of my scene so we can get 00 Adam in kind of a Tarantino-esque sort of composition here. Now, what we want to do is we want to choose a foreground image or an image layer in iClone. To do that, we're going to go into our content tab. We're going to go to our fourth icon or our stage icon. And then we're going to go into our image layer folder. Now, I've already grabbed an image from the net that I'm just going to use as a PNG to basically set in the foreground in between the action itself and the animation and what the camera is actually viewing. Now, we can do this on multiple cameras and multiple angles inside of iClone. So you can use your camera switching tools if you want to, or you can stay on just the single camera and a prolonged shot like you might have seen a couple of times before in this instance. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and select our custom tab here, and you can see that I've already got my PNG set up. If I double click that, I now have it where I can take that layer and use transform, squash, and stretch to basically choose a different sort of orientation or composition. So we're going to start with kind of a large opening in the middle, and we'll narrow that down towards the end of our animation. So to do that, I can go ahead and frame up the image the way I want it based on the aspect ratio for our camera. And we can also go to our camera and use the camera icon beside that to activate the modify panel settings for that. And we can choose a more cinematic focal length if we want, if we wanted to really bring that forward for 200 and zoom back, or if we wanted to go more 35 millimeter and get more of the background associated. We can choose our camera angles thusly. We can even animate those camera angles accordingly as well. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to add a couple of light edits to this as well. So I'm going to go to my scene tab and select my first light and select the color swatch, and I'm just going to change this to red. Now notice it's going to affect all of our lights in the scene as I change those, but only in the actual animated window that you're seeing through our image overlay. So we can also further that visual effect by changing our ambient light color as well. And you'll see now we have a much more cinematic look and feel to what's going on inside that foreground layer itself or behind the image layer. So basically what we want to do now is I'm going to go back and I'm going to turn my dummy object off here, and I'll zoom in with my camera. Now we can even have a camera effects like depth of field to this arrangement if we want. This is also an animated feature. So we can turn that on here by selecting activate, and you can see that we've got a little blur here for our foreground, so we can actually create something that's more apt for the human eye. So I'm going to go ahead and scroll forward here, and as my character animates, I'm actually going to animate my camera by moving that around, and this will auto keyframe for this. So we can even have some rotation, and by selecting my character in the scene, I can have that where the camera will orient on that rotation. So maybe here we have the character movement slightly over to this side. We can also animate the foreground image or the image layer by selecting it here in our hierarchy and then using our move tool to vary that. And of course, if we hover over the side or the corner, we can then also scale and stretch that. So maybe if we want to scale that down slightly and move that over, we're creating keyframe character animation with our camera associated with that character animation, and then also for the actual movement of the foreground image as well. So we can do some really kind of cool stuff here. We can even have some camera fundamentals like, taking that depth of field and picking a new target to change the focus of that. So now our character comes into focus, and so we can focus on some more dramatic shots or composition angles like this. We can also continue to drag forward, animate our camera even more, and maybe orient that to where, you know, you're showcasing maybe even the face of the character. So we can do that by selecting our face cam, and again, with our camera selected, we can choose to vary that focal length by our sliders or by our selection. So if I wanted kind of the extreme close-up on 00 Adam here, we could get that very simply. So we'll go ahead and scroll forward and maybe create a little bit more image layer animation and a little more camera animation, because what we want to do is we want to zoom out kind of far here for the end to where we get to the last shot, and that's going to be our debonair kind of look here. And for this, we want to bring our focal image millimeters for our cameras back out to something far away so we can see a lot of that scene. And we're also going to, again, edit our image layer, and we're going to basically bring this much down in terms of scale and size for a smaller window of view. And then again, we're going to select our camera. And with our camera tool selected here from the top, we're going to pan and zoom till we have kind of the composition that we want associated with our image layer itself. So maybe even something in front of the windows here would be kind of cool. So we can associate this with a lot of feature sets that really make this a lot more cinematic. But we can, of course, combine these on our keyframe editor in the timeline. So, for example, if I bring up my track list here, you can see all of my assets in the scene. So I can go ahead and check on image layer, and all of the keyframes that we've created here, I can literally drag a box around, highlight all tabs, and then right-click any one of these tabs to add instant transition curves. So if we wanted to ease into some of these keyframes, we can do that. So we're going to go ahead and select our keyframes along with our tabs, and then right-click any single keyframe. This will bring up your transition curves. We'll go ahead and do some ease outs. And so now when I do a little bit of animation here to begin with, you can see that our image layer and our camera is now going to give us a lot more of a cinematic result here inside of iClone that we can then use for cinematics or intros to games or experiences that will give you some really cool ways to add a little bit more of that that film or filmmaking look and feel to your overall project. And again, it's real time, so we can make edits on the fly in case some of our camera angles get a little bit out of whack. We can simply be the director in the chair and pull those back into frame and create some interesting sort of 00 Adam angles. So don't forget to make sure that you're checking out some of the other feature sets outside of the character animation and creation tools inside of iClone.
That was awesome. James, that was cool. We've got some really neat, cool tech here, really for a low budget to be able to do some awesome motion capture, bring in the Unity or take it through a separate pipeline through iClone and do some really neat things with there. This is really neat. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks everybody for tuning in. James, where can folks find you online if they want to see more of your stuff?
So you can check out MobaCap at www.mobacap.com to check out the company model, and then also be sure to be on the lookout for FlipBlade, and that's FlipBladeVR.com for our latest title from MobaCap.
Very cool. Everybody, thank you so much, and tune in the next time for the Game Dev Show, and hopefully James and I will be doing some more stuff in the future. James, it's been a pleasure working with you. Thank you very much, and until next time, everybody.
Always fun.
Take care.